We extend a very warm welcome to everyone to church this morning on this Lord's Day. Despite the drabness outside, let us have joy and pleasure in our worship together this morning. The intimations are written for you, but there are just a couple to be added to that. Noah's Ark Parents and Toddlers Group will be commencing their new session on Thursday the 29th at 9:30. If any members of the congregation know of any children who normally attend, we would be grateful if you would pass this information on to them. We were very sad to learn of the death of Elaine Adair. I can inform you now that a funeral Thanksgiving service will take place on Monday the 26th of August at 2:30 here in the church. And we commend Blair, her husband and family, to the prayers of the whole congregation. And we do remember them very much on this particular day. The psalmist said, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help. My King and my God, for to you I pray. Morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." Let us join in our worship together by singing our opening item of praise. "The Lord of heaven confess on high his glory raise." Let us pray. The psalmist said, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem." Lord, we are in your house, and we are gathered here, and we thank you for who you are. You are a great God who created all that we can see around us. You are mighty and powerful, and we are amazed that you have time to listen and to answer our prayers. Father, forgive us and enable us to be responsible enough to recognize our sinfulness, to be brave enough to come to you and confess the things that we have done wrong. And having done that, we are able to experience once again your forgiving love. On this day, we remember the children and young people in the congregation, those who have started nursery, primary one, first year in the secondary school. For each one, it's a new experience, maybe exciting, maybe daunting. But we pray for those also going to universities, colleges, or work. Lord, bless and be near them all in these new experiences. We come to thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. We ask that you might help us cope with every situation that we will face in this coming week. We thank you for the knowledge that you are here in our worship, that you're watching over us in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, we ask you to speak to us. Help us to listen to your still, small voice. Lord, we are indeed a blessed people. And so we come as a church family. And now in the presence of our God, we will pray together in the words that you taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen." Boys and girls, it's lovely to see you this morning. And I brought my friend because he wanted to come and he wanted to tell the story. And I said I would let him have some of the time. Okay? Wait till it's your turn. Okay? Who likes thunderstorms?
I like thunderstorms. When I'm in the house, and there's thunder and there's lightning flashing, oh, it's wonderful to watch.
But, Sam, this is Sam. Sam has a friend called Bobby, and Bobby had a bad day. Right, you can start now, okay? You tell the rest of the story. Bobby had been a bad boy. He'd had a bad mood all day. And no matter what happened, he was in a bad mood. Tea time came. The main part of the evening meal was ready and eaten. It was great. And his mum came in and said, "Trifle." And Bobby said, "I don't want trifle. I want ice cream." And his mum said, "Ice cream's not on tonight. It's trifle. I'm not eating trifle. I want ice cream." Well, his mum and dad had to get fed up with all this nonsense. And his dad said, "I'll give you one more chance. Trifle? No trifle. Ice cream." And his dad said, "Right." He took up the trifle. He went over to the fridge, put it in the fridge, shut the door, and said, "Go to bed, because you're getting nothing else till you eat your trifle." So Bobby walked all the way upstairs to bed. He fell asleep. Then all of a sudden, thunder and lightning started to come all over the place. And he began to get frightened. He cuddled up underneath the covers, and then he thought, And he got up, and he went downstairs, and he went into the fridge, and his dad followed him, and he took out the trifle, and his dad heard him say, "What a fuss God's making about a trifle." And he ate his trifle. But God didn't make it thunder and lightning to make him go and eat his trifle. Thunder and lightning just happened. But it reminds us that God sometimes is not happy with us if we disobey him. God's not happy with us if we don't do as we're told. Okay, we know you. God doesn't like that. But he loves us enough to forgive us. He loves us enough to say, "Okay, I forgive you. You can do what you want, provided it's in line with what I want you to do." And God loves us enough to watch over us throughout our daily lives. Every single day, every single night, God is watching over us. Is that true, Sam? He knows. He's learned that you've got to trust God, believe in him, and watch over him. Let's sing our hymn, which is the next hymn, which is number 600, I think it is. But it's the next one in the sheet. Let's praise God. Let us now turn our attention to the reading of God's word in the Psalm number 73. Psalm 73. Let us read the word of God. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens of common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed this generation of your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one wakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and after you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And I, in being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Amen, and may the Lord bless this reading of his word, and to his name be all the praise and the glory. Let us sing together again in hymn number 466, "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea," 466. Let us pray. Lord, we come before the throne of God, and we have a strong and perfect plea that you will indeed speak to us, that we'll experience the presence of your Spirit amongst us this morning. Lord, touch our lives and bring us comfort and peace and encouragement. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to the passage that we read in Psalm 73. This psalm is the first of what is known as the third book of Psalms. And in this psalm we can see the struggle that the psalmist was going through as he sought to fulfill the law as given by Moses. He was clearly stressed in trying to reconcile his life with that of Judaism. And there are times maybe when we are troubled by our faith and in the knowledge that on some occasions we are not living the life we should. And it's often at that point in our lives that we sit up and decide to do something about it. We all know the frustration when things go wrong. A power cut, a fuse blows, the computer or the cooker we are working on doesn't work anymore. It trips the junction box, everything goes off. And of course, maybe for younger people, the frustration when you're talking to someone on your mobile phone and it cuts out. There's no more battery. You can't talk to anyone. You're isolated. You're alone. Your phone is dead. But it's not. It's the battery that has run down. And there are times when we need to recharge that battery. Just as we have to sometimes recharge the battery in ourselves. There are times when you and I need to recharge our physical, mental and spiritual batteries. We may have been working hard and we're really tired and we need a little time just to rest. A time to renew our strength. Something we often do when we're on holiday. We go and we relax because all the pressures around us are gone. We are there to relax and enjoy ourselves. And isn't it true we have times when we've felt jaded and tired because we've been having a very busy week? Those of us even who are retired can have a busy week and want a break. We can sometimes feel that way spiritually. There are times when it seems that our spiritual power seems to have run down. If someone could just give us a boost with a booster the way we might do with a car battery that's gone flat. But at that moment, it's as though our spiritual power has been diminished. I remember two sisters in one of my congregations in my first parish. They were in their 80s. They were at church every Sunday. They came to the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. And one day, I was visiting the elder of the two, and she said to me, "You know, the prayer meeting and the Bible study, they're just like a wee injection of faith to get me through to Sunday. And there are many people who appreciate a little bit of encouragement, especially when things appear not to be going the way they want." One of the questions sometimes people ask is, how can I recharge my spiritual batteries? Well, we can see that in this psalm. It's maybe a question, have you asked yourself? It's a problem that faced the psalmist. Psalm 73 verse 2 said, "My feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold." The specific problem that rendered the psalmist powerless was the apparent prosperity of the wicked. He just could not seem to understand how the unrighteous people fared so well. And yet his life was fraught with difficulties. He had lost his foothold. He may be like us, needed recharged. And I would like to consider that theme for a little this morning under four headings. Acknowledge that you need recharged. Taking a spiritual inventory, being part of a fellowship of Christians, and lastly, expressing your faith through witness and ministry. So you can recharge your spiritual batteries by acknowledging that you need to be recharged. And to do that requires that we make an honest admission. We need to admit that we need a spiritual boost to our faith. Verse 1 again, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold." He knew he needed something to happen. And I'm sure as we read that, we were immediately struck by the honesty of the psalmist, who expressed his own spiritual staleness, his lack of enthusiasm, or maybe even just his frustration. He was saying that he had expended all his energy and had no more to give. And we must admit to God and acknowledge to ourselves our own spiritual weakness and our need for spiritual recharging. And that's why it's important that leaders of organisations have the opportunity to worship. Sunday school teachers, youth leaders cannot keep giving out unless they sit and take in times of teaching. To sit in the congregation under the Word of God, as a minister, that's something I need from time to time. Otherwise, we become spiritually dry. And we need encouragement. We need teaching. A few years ago, I was privileged to hear the Reverend John Stott, a well-known Anglican minister, author and conference speaker. And the reason that it was a privilege was because it was to be the last event where he was to preach, and it would be his very last sermon. That night, the tent was filled to its 3,000 capacity. There was an overflow tent with another 1,000 people. I met people who had travelled from many places just to hear him preach for the last time. On that occasion, he was 87, and he decided it was now time to stop. And he chose the Keswick Convention, where he'd preached so many times, to be the perfect place to preach his final sermon. It's important to take in. And every year that we go to the Keswick Convention, we meet many of our friends and former colleagues. We meet some who are experiencing difficulty, who are having difficult times in their family, maybe a difficult time in their church, and they have come, maybe feeling low and need to be spiritually and physically recharged. Most of us who go there come home feeling that we have been spiritually charged up and ready for the year's work ahead. And I'm sure there are times, maybe when we leave church, we know and feel that we have been challenged. But maybe more importantly, that we have been encouraged. And so Sunday by Sunday, we have the opportunity to be spiritually fed and rejuvenated to enable us to live our Christian lives to the very full. And if we are to benefit from this, then you and I need to acknowledge and admit that we need to be recharged. And if we realise and acknowledge that, then it requires that we have an accurate appraisal of how we are spiritually. And in verses 3 to 14 in this psalm reveals to us the appraisal that the psalmist gave to the wicked people around him. And as you will see, he was judging mainly and simply on appearances. He was looking at what was on the outside. All he could see was wealth, comfort, and the approval of the community. And at that point, he was not able to make an accurate appraisal, because all he could see was that they looked successful, they looked happy in their life, and he was not. In the acknowledgement of our need, we should see things as they really are, not as they maybe seem to be. Is it not true that we tend to look at ourselves through rose-coloured spectacles? We judge our lives by comparing ourselves with other people. Well, that's not an accurate appraisal of where we are spiritually. To do that properly, we, in fact, should be looking at Scripture and identifying if we are living the lives we ought to, as Scripture prescribes. If we are honest, many of us would fail. But by the grace and love of God, we can see the way to achieve this change and live in the light of His Word. The Scriptures remind us that we are to walk in the light of God. How then are we to achieve this? We are to achieve it by acknowledging the need to recharge our faith. But how do we do that? Well, by taking a spiritual inventory. Note the words of verse 15 and following. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. It was oppressive. It was stifling, because he, the psalmist, was not sure what God wanted him to say to them. He would have betrayed God by giving maybe the wrong information. Therefore, in order for him to revitalize his faith, he required, first of all, to offer his confession. We ought to start our spiritual inventory with a time of confession to God concerning the things that we have done, the things that are unworthy of the Christian faith. And here the psalmist indicated that he couldn't handle this spiritual problem.
because it became wearisome to him, and he became dispirited. All the things that were happening around about him just wore him down. At that point, he'd lacked any direction at this point in his life. Do you ever feel like that? The pressure of day-to-day living leaves you wondering what to do next. There's so much to do and we don't have enough time to do it in. I'm sure many of you are like Elizabeth and I, are as busy as ever after retirement than we were before. How did we do all the things we did before and still have a family life? And we thought since we retired, it would be much easier. We would do as many things as we were working. Places to go, people to see, people to keep me aware of where I'm preaching. We need a diary. We couldn't do without it. There are pressures on all of us because of the need to succeed in whatever we're doing. We've experienced that this month during, I know, our granddaughter's school exam results for senior pupils. We were delighted with the results, thankfully. Although that wasn't true for everyone. We hear a lot about young people not coping with pressure. We hear about young people who have recently taken their own lives because of cyberbullying or exam pressure. They couldn't cope with it anymore. There are times when our lives are like that. We don't know what to do next. Well, maybe it's that time of confession that is important, when we can ask God to forgive us. And so we should make that inventory, either writing it down or in our heads, and then ask God to forgive us. I was speaking to a couple of colleagues who were joint chaplains in a primary school. And they were telling me about one of the things they were doing in the school. They invited all the primary 7 children in that school to take part in an event to be held inside the church. It was a kind of labyrinth that they were to go round. And one area in the church had been screened off. And inside that screened off area was a box with sand. And the children had to go into that bit, and they had to think of something that they had done that would displease God, and write it in the sand. They were then to ask God to forgive them for what they had done. And when they'd done that, they had to take their hand across the sand and remove what they had been written until it was perfectly smooth once again, showing them that God forgives our sin. He wipes it away, and the sand was then clear for the next person to go in. A reminder that Christ's death wiped away all sin, and we are forgiven. After confession, that brings that cleansing. And why he needed cleansing is revealed there in verse 21. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Within confession and repentance comes cleansing of the soul of God. God gives the one who confesses understanding, perspective, and strength. It's a wonderful feeling to know that you can start again. The past is forgiven. The past is forgotten. Sometimes there are people whose lives are angry. Sometimes repressed. And they feel so hemmed in that they feel they want to bust out of the straitjacket. They make a mistake. And maybe they pay the price of a hard lesson. Maybe makes them think again. I remember hearing that Andrew Marr, the journalist, described himself as impatient. And after the stroke he had to reassess his life and lifestyle. In doing so, he pledged to move more slowly and be a kinder and nicer person. He had to reassess his lifestyle. Likewise, when we are sinful, we too need to learn our lesson and be cleansed. And the inventory requires that we make a commitment And that's revealed there in verse 23. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. And so it goes on. God makes his commitment to be with us. And so we ought to make our commitment to him. We all make commitment in marriage. We make a commitment when we join the church. We make a commitment when we take on a task in a church. We make a commitment to our work. We make a commitment to support the organisation or the people that are round about us. And so when the heart has been cleansed and the life is renewed, a commitment to God and his work follows. And that commitment brings a sense of fellowship with God and an awareness of the strength that God can give to each one of us. It brings about our change in our lives. Thinking about a spiritual inventory, I read the book a long time ago about Chuck Colson of Watergate fame. Colson was invited when he was released from prison to speak at a meeting in the George Washington campus after his release from prison. And the poster read, Chuck Colson speaks on Watergate, prison and spiritual rebirth. He was advised not to go because those who knew the situation knew this to be a hostile place. And that proved to be true. When he stood up to address the assembled company, I quote, a bearded young man in a bright red coat jumped to his feet and began walking down the aisle. We've had enough of your preaching from the White House over the past 4 years. Turning to the audience, he asked, right? That's right, came a chorus of voices. There was a near riot. But Coulson waited and then calmly opened with prayer and began to speak. All was silent. And we are told that the students listened to Coulson in tense silence. Later they fired questions at him. Some were sceptical, a few were hostile. They were all different. Eventually the meeting came to a close and some of them then left the hall and went to the university chaplain's home where more questions were asked. At the end of the evening, many had a different perspective of Coulson. And I want to quote one final extract concerning that evening, and it said this. The final half hour was spent praying to Jesus Christ. As the clock ticked towards midnight, a familiar voice now close to tears was heard to say, God, help me find what these people have. I want it. I need it. Amen. The voice belonged to the bearded boy in the red coat. That young man on that evening made a spiritual inventory. He found himself wanting, and he made a commitment to Christ. In the context that we find ourselves, this next point, which is maybe extremely obvious, but reminded we need to recharge our spiritual batteries, being part of a fellowship of Christians. And that's revealed in the reality of fellowship. It's only when the psalmist went into the sanctuary of God, into the place of worship, that he began to get his perspective on life back on the right track. And the result was that he was able to recharge those spiritual batteries. For us, that's here, in our church. In the church that is the fellowship of believers, and we can begin to see the truth more clearly. What then is the function of that fellowship? That's seen there in verses 18 to 20. To give perspective. To share strength, to give support through fellowship, openness and prayer, and to worship God. And that's what we seek to do each Lord's Day here in church and in the organisations that meet during the week. When we are here, then the faith of that fellowship is revealed in the worship of God, in the expression of faith. And we are able to find strength, to find a renewed spiritual life. We're not here just to meet one another and pass an hour or so. We are here. We are here to meet with God. We are here to experience our fellowship with Him. And to meet and experience our fellowship with our fellow believers. And finally, you can recharge your spiritual batteries by expressing your faith through witness and ministry. And for some, the problem comes when faith goes too far inward. Look at verse 27. Those who are from you, that is God, will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. So in effect, the psalmist had turned his thoughts inward. He had become perhaps too introspective. Some people don't like to have their weaknesses exposed. But if we share our experience between our Father in heaven and ourselves, we will benefit. We will be well because a solution comes through turning our faith outward. Verse 28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. When faith is expressed through witness and ministry, it helps us have a spiritual strength that we didn't know. I read the story of a boy who had come home from college or university for Christmas. He told his mother that he no longer was sure of his Christian faith. His mother said to him, "Look, would you take this tray of food to this old man that I've been helping? He's not a Christian." And suggested to her son that he read the Bible to the man while he was eating his meal. The boy thought, "What should I read?" His mother said, "Read the Gospel of John." The boy came back home with a radiant faith and a renewed faith. In sharing his faith, in doing something for someone else, his faith had once again become real to him and alive. And there are times we need to share our faith because we are walking in the light of God, and our lives ought to reveal the very presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we're feeling down, if we're feeling discouraged, by acknowledging that you have realized your need to have spiritual strength round about you, then you can have it. You can have it. There are times when you may feel you're run down spiritually. Ask God to be there with you. It's the Holy Spirit that is the power. It is the Holy Spirit that energizes us into a spark of life in our faith. So in all that we do, in all that we see, may we radiate the love of Jesus to all. I remember a book I was given by the minister with whom I had served my assistantship in my probationary year. And inside the book he wrote, "The power behind you is always greater than the task ahead of you." Be encouraged, because God is with you and will re-energize you into a living relationship with Him, and through Him, you and I can do all things. So do not be discouraged, because God is with you today, here and now. God is always near me. Let us pray.
God is always near me, hearing what I say. Lord, we thank you for that strength. We thank you for that knowledge that we are not alone, but that you are with us. Lord, bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing together again in hymn number 188, Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed, no one knows. 188. Let us pray. Lord, we present to you these, our tithes and offerings for the work of your church here on earth. We thank you for the abundance of good things that we have, and so we return a portion to you. Therefore, bless this offering for the glory of your name. And as we come into your presence, we come to remember the needs of others. We remember all those whose lives have been affected by flooding or landslides, both here and in other parts of the world. For the situation in Hong Kong and on the Indian-Kashmir border where there are riots. Lord, bring peace to these situations. We remember the family of that young girl, Nora, whose unexplained death occurred when she was on holiday in Malaysia. For the family of the police officers who have been killed or injured in their line of duty. We think of the wedding party in Kabul, where a bomb was set off and 60 were killed and 180 people injured. Lord, be with those who have been bereaved in recent times. And we think of Brian Adair and his family at the loss of a wife and mother and grandmother. Lord, we do remember them. We will uphold them in our prayers. We pray for Fergus and Gabrielle. May your hand be upon them and bring them peace and above all healing. And we know how much Fergus is missed by the congregation. Therefore, we ask that you would bring health and healing into each situation. Lord, bless your people gathered here today. And may each one know your peace, know your love in their lives, and take it with them into the world today. Amen. We close our service by saying, Vision 5, hymn 561, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Go out into the world in peace and in love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this day and forevermore.